Beautiful song.
Yes, sir. Man,
thank you. Thank you so much for that. Okay. I always ask people when I tell churches that I ate dog in Cambodia, do you go home and start hiding your dogs? but it was given to me, okay? Did not want to eat it, but Asian culture, you don't eat it, you really offend them. So you got to eat whatever put in front of you. And maybe I should have brought fried tarantula for you guys to try. Amen? Anybody ever try fried tarantula? No? No, thank you? The brother back there raised his hand. Well, just good to be here. Thank you so much again, friends, for your prayer, for your support. And you guys are awesome. I remember some of you, you guys don't age at all. Wow. And I feel like I'm the only one to age. Amen. I think I lost 3,000 pieces of hair, amen? And I'm 6 years older. Wow. Time going by fast. But thank you again for allowing me to be here. Sorry my wife not able to be here with us. And I had my children with me. And they supported singing special, but they left a song sheet in the truck. But we'll get to the message. I'm going to, how you say your name? Sarah, so I'm going to change the message a little bit, and I gave him a different title, and I'm going to change a little bit of what God put in my heart, just thinking about different things. I just want to encourage you this morning on this topic about cease not to preach and teach Jesus or the gospel, okay? And I want to challenge you, encourage you, and this morning on that a little bit. But if you have your Bible, turn to Acts Chapter 5. Actually, Pastor, in Cambodia, they started having more and more American food. They have KFC already. And KFC, Burger King, Domino's, and they're going to have McDonald's pretty soon. So, yeah, we're not missing much, Pastor. Okay, Acts chapter 5, I'm going to talk about cease not to preach and teach Jesus, and I'm going to read from the Cambodian language, and the Cambodian language is called Khmer. Okay, that's how even the people is called Khmer. Cambodian is more the country, okay? And the word for Acts is Kaka, okay? Acts chapter 5. All right, let me read it for you. Verse 40. ពួកក្រុមជ្រុំក៏យល់ព្រមតាមគំនិតលោករួចកាលបានហៅពួកសាវកមកវិញនោះក៏វាយនឹងរំពាត់ព្រមទាំងហាមឃាត់មិនឲ្យនិយាយពីព្រះនាមព្រះយេស៊ូវទៀតរួចលែងឲ្យទៅពួកសាវកក៏ចេញពីពួកក្រុមជ្រុំទៅដោយអសប្បាយពីព្រោះព្រះបានរាប់ជាអ្នកគួរនឹងទ្រាំសេចក្តីដំណៀលដោយព្រោះព្រះនាមទ្រង់ហើយអ្នកទាំងនោះចេះតែបង្រៀនព្រមទាំងប្រាប់ដំណឹងល្អពីព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទនៅក្នុងព្រះវិហារហើយនៅអស់ទាំងផ្ទះរាល់តែថ្ងៃជានិច្ចអេមែន You understand that, right? All right. That's the Cambodian language. Okay. So the verse right there in verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, okay, or preach the gospel. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. And if you have your Bible, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. My mic is on, right? Okay. Sorry, earlier I forgot, and I walked all over the place. Okay, Romans chapter 1. Verse 13 through 17. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, let us pray, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much for your people that's here this morning. I realize people go through different things, Lord. I pray you be with those at this time that really need you, Father, need your presence, need your encouragement. And I pray, Lord, be with those that have to work even today, Lord, and help them stay faithful. And thank you so much for them being here this morning. And thanks so much for your word, the song, everything that go on already, Father. I pray your will be done this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, let me, I owe you guys, I went past my time this morning. I apologize for that. But I want to just challenge you. The Bible tells us that in Acts chapter 5, the apostle, they were beaten for preaching the gospel. They were thrown in prison. And they were ridiculed, okay? But the Bible tells us that in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, but they ceased not, okay? That beating, the persecution they went through, did not stop them from teaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Did not stop them from living for God. They continued on, okay? They continued on preaching the gospel. They continued on telling people about Jesus Christ. In synagogue, where the Jewish people meet, in every house, okay? They go to every house. They cease not. And I want to challenge you with that this morning. Cease not to tell people about Jesus Christ. Cease not to live for God, to live for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Cease not being a good testimony to your family, to your neighbors, to your friends, to your co-workers, because they need God. Amen. Jesus is the hope for this world. Jesus is the hope for my people. It doesn't matter who they are. You see, the communists, I witnessed a couple of times already, probably two, three men that used to be in the communist military. That I remember one gentleman brag about killing 12 people in his life. But I warned him, I told him, you know, you need Jesus Christ. God can forgive you. You see? But I want to challenge this morning, just like along with Apostle, they did not allow persecution to stop them from serving God. They did not allow being beaten, stop them from telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And I will get into the reason why, just a couple of reasons. But I want to encourage you, friend, okay, what people in Tucson need, doesn't matter who they are, American, Asian, Hispanic, Filipinos, we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need God. Okay, we all need God. And you and I know, and when I even come here to church this morning, you I'm driving by parks and things like that. It breaks my heart when I see people, you know, playing balls. And I don't know. I can't judge them. I don't know. But I wish they're in the house of God. You know, people, they get up early to go different places. But I'm thankful you're here. You make time for God. Amen. I'm thankful. Encourage me that there's still Christians in America that still love God, that still are faithful to God, are doing the work of God. And the work of God is a great work. Amen. There's no other work like it. I can't imagine myself doing anything else, I'll be honest with you. I'm thankful that God called my family to the ministry. I'm thankful I get to tell people about Jesus. I'm thankful every week I get to disciple men and women for God. I'm thankful every week I get to go to different villages and passing out track and tell people about God. I'm thankful my children are involved and telling people about God. I'm thankful that. I'm thankful that the Christian that God used in this nation to
open my heart to the gospel. Coming here as a refugee, 1981. You know, I got a lot of funny story.
Yeah.
As refugees, as Cambodian, when you come to America, you didn't know the laws, you don't know the custom, the culture. And I thought, when I first got to America, I thought that every fruit tree in America, I could go pick it. Amen. Even people's houses. And then you start getting shot at with a BB gun. Oh, wow. Start running for your life. But I thought that, you know, and that's how in Cambodia, see fruit tree, go pick it. You can't just pick fruit tree in America, amen, and plenty of people's houses, amen. But I remember doing all that stuff. Wow, a big-time criminal stealing fruits. But you know what? I'm thankful those Christians and God, the Christianist nation, I saw the love of God in them, and God used that. See, I grew up in a Buddhist culture, Buddhist nation that had no fear for God. And they don't know the true God. You watch out, friend. That culture can be corrupt. People killing each other. Ladies selling their kids for $250 at this present time. You see? That's why I'm fearful of America, the way it's going. But I came from a country that have no knowledge of the true God, have no fear of God. And people just, you know, very corrupt. But let me get back to here. And the Bible tells us that apostles, they did not stop preaching Jesus Christ. They did not stop living for God. And I want to encourage you this morning, okay? I want to challenge you, okay? Your unsaved family, they need you to keep on going for God because they need the Lord Jesus Christ. I have most of my family not saved. Sometimes I don't understand why my mom is just not open to God. Even though I witnessed her, tell her about Jesus, I tell her about the Bible, I can understand. But you know what? Keep on living for God, friend. Keep on living for God. If you have family that are not saved, win somebody else's mom and dad to Christ. And when God sees that, he can work in your family's heart. Win somebody's kid to Christ. Win somebody's grandma to Christ. Okay? And God will work in the heart of your family members. But let me go on. Why should we not cease to preach and teach Jesus? In Romans chapter 1 there, what I'm basically going to preach out of is Romans chapter 1. And I love this chapter. Okay? And Paul said, verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Basically at that time, the Greeks considered themselves wiser than everybody else. And barbarians just meaning everybody else, every other nation. Okay? And the Bible explains both to the wise and unwise. And first of all, I wanna remind you us all this morning that we are debtors. Okay? We are debtors. Well, first of all, we are debtors to God. Okay? We owe God everything. Okay? When you think about a debt, being a debtor, for example, when I saw this illustration with somebody, but I love this. Think about a stamp. You know, when you buy a stamp, the stamp will go wherever you send him. Amen? I'm glad the stamp don't talk back. Amen? The stamp, it gets tossed. You know, it's on the letter. It gets tossed. It gets stepped on. Mailman just toss it away. Amen? And but it gets sent everywhere. Because when you buy that stamp, that stamp will go wherever you send that stamp. Don't we all need to be like that, like stamp, as Christian? You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, what know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Okay. I remind you, I remind myself many times. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My body, my spirit, my soul belong to God. See, when we get saved, Okay, when we put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior, it didn't cost us anything. But let me remind you, it cost the Lord Jesus his life. I know he rose again. Not only that, he gave up heaven, the glory in heaven, for a short time, coming down to this earth, born from a virgin as a human being, 100% man, 100% God. He humbled himself unto death. And we are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that. And I remind us all, you and I, our Lord Jesus paid a great price. You think about, I'm pretty sure American culture is a little similar to that, but in the Asian culture, there's nothing worse being spit upon, being spit at. That's the worst thing you could do to another person. But I remind you, our Lord Jesus was willing to be spit upon for our sake. For our sake. For ye bought me at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And friend, I remind you, we are all debtor to God. This life, this body, this soul does not belong to us, it belongs to him. You see? And sometimes I know we have a free will. Okay. And we God cannot make us serve him. But you know, we really don't have a right. We really don't have a right at all, friend, to live our life our own way. Because our Lord Jesus bought us with a great price, bought us with his own blood, his precious blood. See? No other human being can do that for you. Not Muhammad, not Buddha. Okay. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for you and I. And friend, if anyone here this morning, you're not saved, you don't know for sure that you have a home in heaven when you die, I just want to encourage you. Our Lord Jesus Christ died for you 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross for you. But on the third day, he rose again. Proving once again that he's the only God. No one could do that for you. You know, they still have the bone of Buddha in one of those Asian countries. Aren't you glad that you don't find Jesus' bone in that cave? Aren't you glad? He rose again. But you and I, we are debtor to God, friend. We are debtor to God. And not only, I want to tell you a couple other things, but not only that, I'm thankful we are debtor to those that God used to help us to get us saved. I'm thankful for the many Christians there in Georgia. I'm thankful for the different people. I remember one gentleman, okay, you got to remember, us Asian kids, we just got to America. Some of us, we have lights all over our head. And we're just, to be honest, I'm not looking at ourselves, but we're just filthy. And we'll fight and things like that, arguing, and we didn't speak English. But I remember this one gentleman, he would come to our complex, apartment complex, would bring his van, and would take us boys, because Asian parents, they won't let their daughter go anywhere. But boys, sons, you can take them anywhere. To another country, they don't care. Seriously. But their daughter, you can't take them across the street. That Asian culture is like that. And But we'd be all boys, my friend and I, we'll pack in this gentleman's van. We'll take us to his house, let us play with his kid's toy. We'll give us cookie, milk. And at that time, I was like, man, why is this man so nice to us? He don't even know us. And we eat some weird thing. We stink too sometimes, our food. I mean, we eat fermented fish, seriously. But this gentleman, but I get to name you all kind of people. But I am a debtor. I'm thankful to the people of God used in my life to get me saved, to influence me. The preacher that God used in Georgia, the many Christian, American Christian there in Georgia, I'm thankful for that. But what I want to get to, really, Apostle Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. What he's talking about there, he's talking about the lost world. You see, what he's owing to this lost world is the gospel. It's not about owing them money and things like that. It's talking about the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. See? And the same way, friend, you and I, we owe this lost and dying world the gospel of Jesus Christ. We owe them the gospel. Our families, our friends, our neighbors. You see? God saved us for a reason. God put us in a different neighborhood for a reason. To be a light in that community. To be a light to our families. You see? But Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He says, and let me read on, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Because he realized that he is a debtor. He owed his people the gospel. He said, I am ready. Whatever you want me to do, God, I am ready to preach the gospel. Let me ask you this, those that you already saved. If God were to speak to your heart today and call you to some other places, would you be ready? Would you be ready? Would you be ready at any time, any moment? Any moment. Now, don't get mad at me for saying this because it's just my belief. I think about all the foreigners, Asian, Cambodian, Vietnamese, Filipinos, Hispanic, all the foreigners that come to America and gotten saved. If just 1% just go back and reach the people, I'm talking about saved, those that are saved. Man, we can reach this world with the gospel. I truly believe that. Well, you got it all quiet on me, amen. You guys okay? Are we okay? Okay. No, I seriously, God used America for a reason. God allowed people like me to come to America for a reason. I truly believe that. Now, let me back up a little bit. You know, back in the 70s, I was just a little boy. And the Vietnam War, of course, in the 60s, Cambodia's the unrest, late 60s, when France left our country, we got our independence. And sometimes you get what you ask for. You get your independence, everything's just riot. And the communists trying to take over. See? And when communists took over Pol Pot, and he was the communist leader in Cambodia. 1975 to 1979, over 2 million Cambodian people were killed. Some died from starvation, of course, disease, all the result from the war. Than Cambodia. It was 25% of the population at the time. When you think about it, because of the war, our United States government allowed refugees from Southeast Asia to come to America if somebody sponsored us. When you think about it, when we came to America, most of the people that sponsored us, you know, a lot of church organizations, most of it are church organizations or Christian families. And when we came to this country, many people from Southeast Asian country had an opportunity to hear the gospel. I have seen Vietnamese church, Cambodian church. You think about that. Okay? Now, I remind you, God loved all those people that died, that perished during the wartime more than you and I do. He did not, it was not his will for those people to die. But because of the war, God many people were able to come to America. Come to America, we heard the gospel preached, and we got saved. You think about the goodness of God. He turned something that is evil, that is wicked, into good in allowing us to come to this country and be saved. I thank God for his mercy and his grace. I'd be honest with you. If I would have grew up in Cambodia my whole life, and my country was peaceful, and I never came to America, would I ever hear the gospel preached? I don't know, friend. But I'm thankful for God's grace and mercy. But Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. Because he knows that he's a debtor. He is ready to preach the gospel. But this is what I want to get to, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And friend, I want to challenge you, not only cease not to preach the gospel because we are debtor, cease See, he's not preaching gospel because the gospel is the power of God that saves sinner. Our Bible tells us, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Okay, why was Apostle Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Why was he not ashamed to tell people about Jesus Christ? Why was he not ashamed to go to every synagogue and preach the gospel to his nation, to his people? The Bible tells us right there, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I remind you, friend, the gospel is the power of God. There's no message like the gospel message. None. Okay? None. Religion don't have the gospel. Buddha does not have the gospel. Muhammad does not have the gospel. Hinduism does not have the gospel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the gospel. The Bible is the gospel. And friend, I encourage you, don't ever stop living for God, telling people about Jesus. Because that's what people need. And don't apologize when you give people track. Don't apologize for telling your friends, your neighbor about Jesus Christ. That's what people need. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. The people in the community need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad God used somebody to invite me to church. God used a friend of mine from school, Kim Lin. Kim Lin Nguyen, that was her name. And when I heard the gospel and I got saved, God totally changed my life. See, if you don't mind, I'll tell you a little bit. You know, before I got saved, you know, I used to, because I, before I got saved, as a 15, 16-year-old boy, I hated life. I didn't think life was worth living. I could care less if I died, to be honest with you. I was just a very, very bitter teenager. Very bitter. I was not close to my mom. Hated my mom. Hated my brothers. You know what I dream about? I kept my hair very long. I used to think, man, one day I'm going to be a gangster. That's what I planned to be. I'm seriously. And I remember my teacher, seventh grade teacher, you know, they start asking you, oh, Keel, what you plan to be when you go to college? Now, some people want to be a teacher, doctor, lawyer, you know. When she came to me, you know what I told my teacher? I said, you know what, Miss Dennis, I don't plan to be anything. I plan to die before I go to college. That's what I told my teacher. But you know what, I'm thankful that Kim Lin invited me to church. And God already worked in my heart. She did not know. She did not know that twice I want to kill myself. She didn't know that. You know, but Kim Lin, she invited me to church. And before I went to church, God was convicting me so bad, I remember before I got saved, I prayed two different times. Say, God, if you up there, help me. I prayed that prayer two times. Because I knew in my heart there's a God up there. Even though I never heard the gospel clearly presented to me, I knew there's only one God that created everything. I knew in my heart. And Romans chapter 1, chapter 2 tell us that. Men are without excuses. Man, don't let people tell you there's no God. It's impossible for something to come out of nothing, friend. Okay, don't ever listen to that. Okay, but I could testify to that. I knew there's a God up there. And I prayed to them at the time, God, if you're up there, please help me. And because I opened my heart to God, God used Kim Lin. She invited me to church and heard the gospel clearly for the first time, 1988, January 30, 1988. And after the service, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Been saved ever since. I never regretted one time. Not one time. But friend, the gospel is the power of God that saves sinners. Why we should not be ashamed of the gospel? Why should we not stop preaching the gospel? Because the gospel is the power of God. It's the power of God that saves sinners like you and I. Saves sinners like me. A bitter, angry teenager. I'm ashamed of this because I love sports so much. There are times when my team lose so bad, I would look in the sky and curse God. That's how wicked I was. Seriously. I have two things I was really involved. Sport was my God, and gambling. And when I lose a lot of money, I would look in the sky and curse God. But I'm thankful that God still showed mercy, was still merciful to me and saved me. Friend, don't ever stop preaching the gospel because the gospel is the power of God that saves sin like you and I. You have a testimony. I have a testimony. See, I come from a bitter, angry person that want to kill people to preaching the gospel. Only God can do that, friend. Only God can do that. Okay, I can't change myself. Only God can do that. You know, sometimes God has a humor. You know what? You know, the first group of people I worked with when I moved from Georgia to California, I worked for a year with gangster kids. Honestly. My friend and I had to watch 35 of them. They had guns, they used drugs, everything. I just had for 1 year in California, I worked with gangsters, trying to help them get them saved, get them living for God, and then ban that gang life. See? Well, I'm glad that's what I wanted to be, but God saved me from that, and God used me to help those kids. But let me go on. Not only the gospel is the power of God that saves sinners. But let me tell you some people. I tell you a couple of people that God saved this last few years in Cambodia. I think about a lady, Srey. Her name is Srey, Srey. Srey was a lot of people in Cambodia, a lot of ladies, they had to work. And in factories, thousands and thousands of young ladies. And a lot of times they lie about the age so they can work in factories. Some of them are only 14, 15 years old. And they would put down the age as 18 or 19. Okay, but Srey, she was a lady. She didn't work in a factory, but she's a security guard. And I'm not kidding you, she's about this tall, and she weighed about 110 pounds. A lot of women in third world country, they're not very big, and men too, but especially the lady. She was 41 or 42. But not one of my national leaders witnessed her, gave her a tract. In the beginning, she was not open to God. She said, Jesus is the God of Americans. Buddha is my God. But because of our not faithfulness, he would visit her for several weeks. And then she started opening up. And she eventually got saved, and God started changing her. Amen. And she would work as a security guard, support her husband. Her husband is a drunkard. And her daughter. But she got saved, and she started being faithful. And this is the power of God, friend. And start being faithful. And I remember in 2013, she had this disease in her stomach and her intestine. The water would go in there and it would swell up. And we would take her to a different hospital and trying to get help, and nothing helped her. And she eventually passed away in August 2013. And her daughter, Moray, had been living with our church since 2013. But the reason I tell you her testimony, you know, before she passed away, like a couple months, when she was sick in her bed, and her house just a junk house, filthy house, nothing, okay? No restroom, no nothing. But I remember what she told us. She said, you know what? She told us missionaries and other saved people, said, you know what? Even though I'm sick and about to die, I'd rather be sick and knowing that I'm going to heaven, And knowing Jesus Christ is my Savior, I'd rather be sick and knowing God is my Savior than to be filthy rich and not knowing God. I never forgot that. Never forgot that. And she had nothing, friends. Nothing. Sometimes I wish you guys would see her house, some of our people's house. Like Taiwan, the second family, the gentleman with his three kids. Now don't let his face fool you. Sometimes you look at his Asian Cambodian men, they look like 16, 17. He's actually 31 years old. The three kids. You know, he worked 6 days a week. Taiwan, I led him to Christ. He was selling noodles on the street. He worked a full-time job, and he sold noodles on the side. And I gave him a track, and he eventually got saved. But him and his whole family, I think three kids or four kids now, son? Three kids. Okay. They rent a one bedroom apartment, and the restroom, the kitchen, the living area is all there in one spot. That's how it is in Cambodia. Okay, that's how it is. But he works 6 days a week, 14, 15 hours a day. His only day off is Sunday. He'll go to church, and he'll lead one of the village ministry in his village. I'm thankful for the power of God. Thankful. I think about Grandma Luong. She's She just passed away in 2015 in February. But for when she got saved when she was 88 years old, she said part of her life, for many years, she would live in the temple as a nun, in the Buddhist temple. But when she got saved, and she cannot, you know, she's hunchback, she cannot walk straight. But she loved going to church. We would pick her up on a tuk-tuk. A tuk-tuk is a motorcycle engine with a two-wheel in the back, a carriage. And we would pick up a tuk-tuk, and she loved going to church. But one day when she got saved and started living for God, and she realized, because she used to have a picture of Buddha on a calendar, and she used to burn incense to that picture. And she would, one day, she gave my friend and I that picture of Buddha and said, you know what, I don't need this anymore. For 88 years, she worshiped Buddha. And then when God saved her, she know the truth. Said, you know what, I don't need that calendar. I don't need to live in fear. But you know the sad thing about her, I wish we could help her more. When she got saved, started living for God, her own kid was threatened to kick her out of her own house for believing on Jesus Christ, for believing on Lord Jesus Christ. But she got saved at 88 years old, friend. In fact, in the video, there's a picture of her, and not the front, but the back. But we would disciple her. But she passed away last year. She got bedridden. She couldn't move anymore. But every time she'd go to church, she'd always be joyful. She said, I am thankful that you guys take me to church. When I hear the word of God preach, when I hear the song, when people sing song, I hear a song about God, I get happy. Amen. And she loved being in church. Amen. Loved being in church. Friend, the power of God. The power of God. But let me I'll end with this. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is the power of God that saves sinner powerfully. And then knowing that is the power of God that saves sinner fairly. And friend, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, the gospel saves everyone fairly. Whether we're rich, whether you're poor, God saves us all the same way. Amen? Okay. And God no respect to a person. Okay. I'll be honest, I love your church, man. I love it because when I was a bus captain in Georgia, I used to bring Vietnamese kids, white kids, black kids, Cambodian, Laotian. I bring all of them to church, whoever want to come with me. Okay. So when I see your church like this, I love it. Love it. Because we all serve the same God. Amen. Because the gospel, friend, cease not to preach and teach Jesus because the gospel is the power of God that saves sinners fairly. A rich person can come to Christ. A poor person in Cambodia can come to Christ, can get saved the same way. An Asian person can get saved the same way as an American. Because it's the same gospel. It's the same God. It's the same grace that saved you and I. Amen? Let me tell you the third and fourth point. Why would Paul not ashamed of the gospel? The gospel is revealed the righteousness of God. Verse 17, I said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. See, you and I are not saved by our own righteousness, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are counted righteous. Wow, I thank God for that. We always tell our people when we witness, we tell our people in kind of Cambodia, okay? You can either pay for your sin yourself, and that is death in the lake of fire. Or you let somebody pay your sin for you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's basically it, to be honest with you. If you don't, you reject God, Jesus Christ, you have to pay for your sin, death yourself, and that is death in the lake of fire. But you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He already died for you on the cross. He already shed his blood for you. And God can forgive you and he count you as righteous. You see? That's why we talk about Jesus Christ as God. It's not religion. It's about relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, I want to encourage you. Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Do you have it? And I'll finish with this. As Christian friend, I want to challenge and encourage you. As Christian, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, a disciple who is a Christian who is living for God, okay, don't stop telling people about God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, because that's what people need. I don't apologize for it. The gospel changed my life. See, the gospel changed your life. The Bible is God. Don't stop preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other thing is, friend, if you're not saved this morning, you don't know for sure you have a home in heaven, I encourage you, only Jesus Christ can save you. He's the only one. He's the only God. He died for you on the cross, and he rose again. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one God, and he's the one who created us. Okay, let's close our eyes, bow our head. Before I pray, I want to ask you with your eye, head bow, eye closed. I want to ask you, is anyone here, and I'm those of you that, you know, going through a difficult time, you are a blessing to me. I'm thankful that you made time to come to church this morning, even though you're going through something that I can't imagine. But if anyone here that you don't know for sure you have a home in heaven, you know, I heard the gospel clearly for the first time in 1988. 28 years ago. And friend, Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. You don't have to die and spend eternity in hell. Jesus already paid sin debt for you already. And if you tell Pastor Dawson, you don't know for sure you have a home in heaven. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. He is the Son of God. He's the only Savior. He's Lord Jehovah. And secondly, I want to encourage you as a Christian, friend, what will it take for you to stop serving God? What will it take for you to stop preaching the gospel? Will you let, like, little thing happen in your life to stop you from serving God? Or not only that, are you preaching the Lord Jesus Christ by your words, with your mouth, and with your action, with your life, with your example? Are you preaching the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world, to your friends, to your neighbors? This world is dark, friend. And people need the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only hope. It doesn't matter where you're at. And I want if God speaks to your heart, and I hand over to the pastor, I'll pray, I hand over to the pastor. And I encourage you, if God speaks to your heart, please respond to God. Don't do it for me, for pastor. Don't do it for God said it, because do it because God spoke to your heart, okay? But I want to encourage you, as a Christian, we're to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach him with our mouth. Preach him with our example, our love, our kindness, okay? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for this morning. Thanks so much for your word. And Father, sometimes I fail you, Lord. I don't always preach the gospel like I should, Father, especially when we travel. And I pray that you help us to be faithful witness for you, Father. And I thank you so much, Father, for your mercy, your grace. Thank you so much for the power of the gospel. I thank you so much, Father, back in 1988, you used Kim Lynn to invite me to church, and I got saved. And thank you so much, Father, for this church, for the attentiveness of the people here, Lord. And I pray that you speak to people's heart, Father, and help us to live for you, Father. And help us, Lord, Father, for the Christian in this nation, to come back to you, Father, those that are away from you, are doing their own thing, Father. I pray that there'll be a great revival in this nation. And thank you so much for this time, Father. I pray you will be done in Christ's name. Pastor.
Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, just for a moment. The invitation will be played in just a moment. But I want you to ask yourself this question. If you were to die right now, you sure you'd go to heaven? If you're not sure of that, I want to pray for you today. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. If you say, you know, preacher, I've never been born again, and if I die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you remember me in your closing prayer? Just want to pray for you. If you stick that hand up, you're here anywhere in this auditorium right now. You raise your hand up, and I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all around. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another one? You say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure that If I died today, I'd go to heaven. Amen. I see another one. You may put that one down. I see a third one. You may put that one down. Is there another? Just honest with God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God and the salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said, because therein is the righteousness of God revealed. We don't have the righteousness, but Jesus Christ died to give us the righteousness. And it's revealed in the gospel. Three hands have been raised. Is there another that will be added to these three? Amen. I see that one. You may put it down. Is there another? Preacher, pray for me. I'll pray, but let me put this encouragement out to you. If you want to know how to be born again, when the music starts, would you just come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again? Take a few moments of your time. If you're a man, we'll get a man to show you. If you're a woman, we'll get a woman to show you. But you must be born again. The Bible is clear, except man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Father, bless now in these that have raised their hands, saying they're unsure that heaven would be their home. And God, I pray they'd have enough concern to come forward and let us take a Bible. Show them how they can be saved. Give them enough courage to do that. Well, they've raised their hand by faith, saying that I know I don't have it. I'm unsure. So, Lord, now by faith, bring them forward. And Lord, help them to surrender their life in exchange for yours and repent of their sin so they can receive eternal life in Jesus Christ, Lord. Give them that courage, that boldness to come. Lord, for Christians, help us to live our life and not to cease to preach and teach Jesus Christ. The gospel still saved. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ still saved souls of those that would believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So save today. Encourage Christians, heal broken hearts, comfort those that are weak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed as Miss Natasha plays the hymn of invitation. Would you come? Maybe you raise your hand saying you're not sure that heaven is your home. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I've sat where you sat before and sat through a service. God spoke to my heart and I moved. I wanted someone to take a Bible and show me how to be saved. How about it, Christian? How about it, person that raised your hand? Young man, you raised your hand. Young lady, you raised your hand. Are you sure that heaven is your home? Are you concerned about it? God loves you. Jesus died for you, and God wants to save you. But you've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't come to you, but you can come to me. You just step out by faith. Jesus will meet you. He'll save you. How about it, Christian? Are we giving the gospel? You heard the testimony from Cambodia. Two Kyo came here under duress. Communism set in, killed his parents, killed his dad. Refugee coming to America. Families took him in. Someone shared the gospel, and he got saved. God took a bad situation and made it good. God's just good like that. A young person, I don't know how bad your situation is or your circumstances are, but you heard Keo's testimony. He wanted to kill himself. Not once, but twice. You don't know the person that you're inviting. What's behind the face? What's behind their heart? What they're capable of doing? What they're thinking about doing? Maybe that person that you're thinking about sharing the gospel with, but you just haven't. Think about committing suicide, you never know. Would you share Jesus Christ with them? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Would you like to be saved today? You raised your hand saying you're unsure. If you'd come, we'd take a Bible and we'd show you how to be saved. But if you're saved, are you sharing the same gospel that somebody shared with you? Don't be ashamed. Be bold. Why? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He still saves. He still saves. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for, Lord, the circumstances that necessitated Keo coming all the way from Cambodia to America to be saved. just so that you could send him right back to his people and get multitudes saved. I want to thank you for the furlough that he's on now and the message that he shared with us today. Lord, not to cease and preach Jesus Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. And because of that, the righteousness of God is revealed, showing us that we cannot save ourselves, but Jesus, you died for us, you were buried for us, and rose again the third day for us, because we could not save ourselves. Help that man, that woman, that boy or girl that's struggling with a decision today. Help them to make that decision to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving us. Lord, we do pray that your hand would be upon our services and those that are in need of comfort right now. You'd wrap them up with your care and your love. Lord, you'd help meet the need that is there. Those that are traveling, those that are grieving. Lord, bring us back again this afternoon, ready to praise you for just being a great God. Lord, we're doing a great work. Help us never to stop, never to cease. Thank you for loving us, meeting our need in Jesus' name.